WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, and we've got a great hour in store for all of you out there listening. We will chat today with Todd Duckett, MSU running back great, and also Cato June, Michigan linebacker great, and the two will be on the line at the same time to talk about the intense rivalry that is Spartans versus Wolverines. That's right, we continue this rivalry week here on Current Sports by inviting Todd and Cato to talk about what makes this rivalry so juicy, and we'll get their thoughts and predictions on what is going to go down at the Big House this Saturday afternoon between the Spartans and Wolverines, as well as talk about their favorite memories from when they played on the gridiron in this very game. And they are also putting on a very cool charity event to spark up interest in two just really, really cool endeavors to also relate it to the rivalry. So you don't want to miss that chat. You'll also get to hear from the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, as he addressed the media this morning at Spartan Stadium, previewing that Michigan State and Michigan rivalry. Also, a legendary head coach in the world of college football has decided to call it quits, and a Florida quarterback has been suspended due to a just-come-on-man mistake. So all of that and so much more. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this October 13th. A week after moving into the top 10 in their respective divisions for the first time this fall, Grand Ledge and Corunna continue to climb up the state rankings. Now, Grand Ledge moved up four spots and Corunna jumped two places in this week's Associated Press Prep Football Poll, which is selected by a panel of sports reporters. CAAC Blue leading Grand Ledge, who is 7-0, moved up to number 6 in Division 1, while GAC Red leader Corunna, 6-1, is number 8 in Division 4 in the latest rankings. Le'Veon Bell led the Pittsburgh Steelers to a stunning victory last night with a 1-yard run into the end zone with 5 seconds left. The Steelers beat the San Diego Chargers 24-20 in San Diego. Bell ran the ball 21 times for 11 yards and averaged 5.3 yards per play. Well, much more than 11 yards. Bell stepped up with Ben Roethlisberger still out on injury. The Steelers are now 3-2. And with this win over the Chargers, it could have heightened their chances to make the playoffs now. Big win for the Steelers. All right, yesterday, the Detroit Lions running back, Joique Bell, said he would return to practice this week and plans on playing in Sunday's game against the Chicago Bears. Bell has been on the injury list with an ankle injury, but has said his ankle is 100% and that it's his Achilles tendon and that is still giving him trouble. Bell was the Lions' leading rusher last year, and they could really benefit from his return. Bell's replacement, Zach Zinner, has maintained in the past 2 weeks. Steve Spurrier, the South Carolina Gamecocks all-time winningest coach, announced yesterday that he will be retiring immediately. Actually, he just walked off the podium to address that very notion. He actually said that he's not retiring. He's just going on to other endeavors, I guess you can say. He's resigning, I guess you can say. That's the word he used. Now, the announcement came after the Gamecocks lost 45-20 to LSU on Saturday, which marked their fourth straight loss to an SEC team. Sean Elliott, the co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, has been named the interim coach and will take Spurrier's place for the remainder of the year. Spurrier is leaving behind 228 total wins, which is the second most in SEC history. We'll have more on that in just a sec. Steve Sarkisian has checked himself into rehab in the wake of his firing by the USC Trojans. SBC Nation has reported that. A move that follows Sarkisian's apparently appearing intoxicated after arriving to team facilities on Sunday. Now, the outflow of support and sympathy for Sarkisian, who has been plagued of late by apparent substance-related circumstances, was widespread yesterday. USC players, who were said to be shocked and worried Sunday after seeing the condition of Sarkisian was in at team facilities, were told of his firing by positions coaches on Monday afternoon before a statement was released to the media. Will Grier, the Florida Gators quarterback, has been suspended for one season after testing positive for a performance-enhancing substance that he was taking in an over-the-counter endeavor. Now, according to the NCAA, the positive test leads to an automatic one-year suspension, meaning Grier will not be able to return to the field until the Gators' seventh game next year. Coach Jim McElwain will appeal the suspension in hopes that Grier will be able to return sooner than that. With Grier gone, sophomore Treyon Harris will become the starting quarterback, and he was also suspended this year for one game due to an undisclosed violation of team rules. The New York Mets lead the series 2-1 after they beat the L.A. Dodgers with a score of 13-7 yesterday after Chase Utley broke the leg of Ruben Tejada in Game 2. The two teams have added urgency to win this series. The New York Mets' 13-run game was the most for the team in any postseason game in franchise history. And as for the Chicago Cubs, they are one game away from clinching their first playoff series in franchise history. In Game 3 Monday, the Cubs made history. They set a playoff record for most home runs in a single postseason game. And former Texas A&M wide receiver Thomas Johnson stabbed and killed a person at random Monday morning in a park, according to Dallas police. Johnson, a former four-star recruit in the class of 2012, hasn't been with the team since he left during his freshman year. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Without further ado, it's time to get this party started. WKAR's current sports. Oh man, a lot of people know this, but that's my favorite artist, folks. That's Seal. That's a little bit of Seal for you, folks. Gosh, I love him, man. That's one off his new CD. And what you just heard in that montage was, of course, Le'Veon Bell. Did you check him out last night? Former Michigan State running back Le'Veon Bell, who is arguably the best running back in the NFL. You can certainly make a case for that. 21 carries for 111 yards. He averaged a little over 5 yards per carry last night. One touchdown. And you just heard the call. Mike Tirico and, of course, John Gruden of Monday Night Football. The game-winning touchdown. The Steelers. Last-second victory over Phillip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers. What a game that was. Was that not a great Monday Night Football game or what? And Mike Tomlin having a lot of guts to call that, you know, to call a run play out of the Wildcat. Only 5 seconds left on the clock. If you kick the field goal, you go into overtime, you still give your team a lot of life, and you possibly could win the game in overtime, or you could lose the game in overtime. Mike Tomlin didn't want to risk losing, and he decided to just put the ball in the hands of his playmaker, Le'Veon Bell, and let him do work. And, you know, Trent Dilfer did a great job of breaking down that run during the post game after, you know, the confetti had come out and Pittsburgh had finished celebrating. And actually, it was pretty cool. They had Le'Veon with Steve Levy, you know, with Trent Dilfer, also with Steve Young and Ray Lewis, part of that post game crew for Monday Night Football. He was on the field and they actually mic'd up Le'Veon, and he talked about the run. But Trent Dilfer really talked about how that run really encompassed what exactly makes Le'Veon Bell such an incredible threat in the NFL today. I mean, he's got great vision, which you saw on that play, because, you know, he had to just kind of pick and choose where he wanted to take the football on that very play. He's got great patience because there wasn't an initial hole at first. He tried to go right up the middle on the left side, and it got completely stuffed. And then you saw power from Le'Veon, because once he was tackled, he kept moving, he kept churning, and he stretched out for the touchdown. And it takes a lot of smarts to do that as well, to realize where the goal line is and to make sure that your knee doesn't hit before the pigskin crosses the goal line. Le'Veon Bell, oh my goodness. And folks, you know, I covered Le'Veon when he was here at Michigan State before he took his talents to the National Football League. And it's amazing how much weight he has lost. I mean, he has gone from a legit 250 down to 215 now. And he is more speedy. He's more agile. He's such a shifty running back now. It just adds to what makes him the ideal running back in the league today. I truly believe that. Le'Veon Bell, salute to you, my friend. Always great seeing Spartans do great things at the pro level, no matter what sport it is. Folks, we've got a great show in store for all of you today. Of course, it is rivalry week. Yes, Michigan State will be on the road, not too far down the road, playing against the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan, this Saturday afternoon. This is the moment that all of you have been waiting on. This is the moment that all Spartan fans and Wolverine fans look forward to, because there isn't an in-state rivalry quite like the Spartans and Wolverines, folks. The maize and blue and green and white. Michigan State, of course, has dominated this matchup as of lately when it comes to the gridiron. But Michigan looks really, really good this year. Really, really good this year, folks. Only one blemish on their record, of course, that season-opening loss on the road to Utah. But since then, they have looked great. Again, they're coming off of 3 weeks in a row in which they have allowed their opponents 0 points, zero, nothing, nada. And now they're ranked, of course, in the top 15. I believe Michigan is ranked 12th. Is that right, Isaac? 12th in the nation?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's 12th. And Michigan State, of course, they dropped to 7th after squeaking out yet another victory over Rutgers this past Saturday. So with that being said, again, we're asking you all to call in. I want to get your thoughts, predictions. If you want to talk some trash, you can also do that. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. It was certainly a busy show yesterday, as we had, I think, about 4 callers call in and give their thoughts on the upcoming matchup this weekend. So call in. And, you know, we have 2 great guests on today's show as well that will be diving into the rivalry that is Spartans and Wolverines. And who I'm talking about is, of course, Ty Duckett, Michigan State running back great, and Cato June, Michigan linebacker great. And of course, Cato went on to have a fantastic career. He played with the Indianapolis Colts, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans, Chicago Bears, and even the Omaha Nighthawks. How about that? That was back in 2010. He even won a Super Bowl ring, if you remember, with the Indianapolis Colts, with Peyton Manning and company. So this is the first time, you know, I'm giving a big spiel about Cato, because this is Cato's very first time being on our airwaves. So we're actually going to have Todd and Cato on at the very same time, because they have a very cool competition going on. Of course, you have, you know, Todd being a Spartan, Cato being a Wolverine. They're good friends, and they have been just, you know, constantly bantering and getting into it with one another when it comes to the rivalry. And they thought, you know what, why not push this to a great cause for both of us? Now, Ty Duckett, he, of course, has, which has been doing a really great job over the years with many people, you know, in the community getting involved and just the organization overall being in the community and doing great things for kids and just people alike. And I'm talking about New World Flood. It's a nonprofit organization, you know, passionate about the volunteerism, whose purpose is to, quote, flood the world with service. A great philanthropic endeavor that Ty Duckett is the founder of. And on, you know, the side of Cato June, he has the Jaguar Football Club. It's the booster club that supports CH Flowers football team. The role of the Jaguar Football Club is to support the CH Flowers football team. And football, of course, builds character and life skills, and it aids in making sure that happens with the youth who play with that organization. So raising money for two great causes, and they're trying to see who can raise the most money throughout this rivalry week between Cato and Tide. So we'll have them both on later on in the hour. But folks, I first want to talk about Steve Spurrier retiring. Steve Spurrier, the South Carolina Gamecocks all-time winningest coach, announced yesterday that he will be retiring immediately. Now, as I had to modify during my quick hit headliners, because Spurrier addressed the media not too long ago concerning him leaving the USC football program. He said that, hey, I'm not retiring, I'm just resigning. He says, quote, first of all, I'm resigning, not retiring. I doubt if I'll ever be a head coach again, but don't say I've retired completely. Who knows what will come in the future? My answer has always been the same. If it starts going south, starts going bad, then I need to get out. It's time for me to get out the way and give someone else a go at it. Now, Steve Spurrier is 70 years old, and what more so surprised me out of anything is that it really didn't surprise me that Spurrier decided to resign or retire, however you want to put it. But what surprised me is just that it happened immediately. It was an immediate resignation, if you will. And, you know, you kind of look at it and say, okay, why couldn't Steve just kind of just finish out the season and then say, all right, I'm done. Why did it have to happen right now? And that's something that just puzzled me. But hey, nonetheless, I mean, hey, he is getting up there. Well, he is up there. I mean, 70 years old. He wants to go into different endeavors. I think, you know, looking at different headliners across the board, you know, hey, he talked about maybe he'll coach some high school. That may also be on the table. But it's hard to argue, man. You know, just looking at his legacy, Steve Spurrier, my goodness, he is a staple when it comes to success at the college football level. He's one of the most influential characters when it comes to college football in the history of the sport. When looking at his overall career, just really unbelievable. I'm looking at a graph here. Steve Spurrier, whose 208 career wins are second only to Paul Bear Bryant at 292 among SEC coaches, is the all-time leader in wins at both Florida and South Carolina. And looking at, you know, Steve's records at both Florida and South Carolina. At Florida, he went 122, 27, and 1. At South Carolina, he went 86 and 49. And while at Duke, he went 20, 13, and 1. He spent 3 years at Duke, 12 at Florida, 11 at South Carolina. So nonetheless here, I mean, you got to give a lot of props to Steve Spurrier just for what he meant to the college football world and the college sporting world overall. I tip my cap, but it also makes me wonder why it had to happen right now, Isaac.
Yeah, Al, I was thinking the exact same thing. A little bit odd that he decided to retire just five games into a new season, especially after there being rumors of his retirement at the tail end of last year's 7-6 season. You would have thought that he either would have retired then or cleaned out ship at the end of this year, but it's a little bit odd that he picked right in between. But what I remember about Steve Spurrier, me, of course, being from New Orleans, Louisiana, a Southern boy, I remember Steve Spurrier just giving off quote after quote of trash talk. He was absolutely phenomenal and maybe invented coaches talking trash. I say invented, I'm not sure if anybody's ever copied it to the same extent. So to start that, I'd like to remember him with a few of his best quotes, such as talking about UGA early in the season. Quote, I don't know. I always sort of liked playing them that second game because you could always count on them having two or three key players suspended.
Or that's great. I like
on
that
on Florida State. He says, you know what FSU stands for, don't you? Free Shoes University. He's on Auburn when there was a fire at the library that destroyed 20 classic historic books. He said, but the real tragedy was that 15 hadn't been collared yet.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, and Steve, I don't think there's ever been a coach that hasn't been, you know, afraid, or I should say that has towed that line of not being afraid to just speak what's on his mind and talking a little bit of trash. I know there were numerous occasions in which he actually called out Nick Saban, you know, who was looked at as maybe the best coach in college football today. So, yes, yeah, Steve, again, as you duly noted there, Isaac, I mean, he is a guy that will be missed in that regard as well, because it's not often that you hear that kind of blunt honesty from head coaches at any level, let alone the college level, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Steve Spurrier, you also talk about the second winningest SEC coach of all time,
right?
Only behind Bear Bryant. That is quite the accomplishment. Nobody's going to pass up Bear Bryant anytime in the near future. Nick Saban maybe in the a little bit of the distance. I think he eventually will, actually. But even so, Steve Spurrier has just set record after record, won a national championship, and hey, I hope he enjoys golfing.
Yeah, and let's not forget, I mean, when he was a player, I mean, he was the 1966 Heisman Trophy winner as Florida's quarterback and played for San Francisco and Tampa Bay in the NFL. And as, you know, I talked about, Spurrier became the South Carolina's winningest coach, getting 65 victories to surpass Rex Enright in the 2012 season finale. He is also Florida's winningest coach, 122 victories. And, of course, he and Paul Bear Bryant are the only coaches to record the most wins at two SEC schools. Pretty impressive stuff, to say the least. All right, folks. Well, head coach Mark D'Antonio, if this rings a bell, folks, if you remember, Mark D'Antonio has some pretty close ties when it comes to the USC football program. He was actually a former player for the program, and immediately when it was announced that Steve Spurrier would be retiring or resigning, however you want to put it, I tell you what, there was a lot of chatter in the air via social media on whether or not Coach D'Antonio would be a good fit as the head coach of that program. So naturally, that cat had to be let out the bag during today's press conference.
Coach, just want to get this out of the way. Your name's come up. This Steve Spurrier is retirement, South Carolina. Of course, you played there.
First question, huh?
Yeah, just get it out of the way. Can you talk about that opening in South Carolina?
Yeah, Coach Spurrier's had an outstanding career there. It's my alma mater, and we're here to talk about Michigan.
Yeah, that's it. Real quick and simple, Coach D'Antonio not giving us anything when it comes to that quote on whether he would even consider being the head coach at USC. Again, D'Antonio did play there. There are some close ties. And Mike Griffith of MLive decided to you know, address the elephant in the room and get it completely out the way with the first question of today's presser. But again, as Coach D said, there is a game at hand, a very, very big game, Michigan and Michigan State. Here's D'Antonio on the respect that he has for Jim Harbaugh and the maize and blue.
I got a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Harbaugh, what he's accomplished in his career, and what he's accomplishing now. But these games are played one at a time, and all I can tell you is every single play of every single game means something. It has its own life, I guess is what I would try and say. And as long as you keep in that perspective, you've got a chance to win that one particular play. To go beyond that, or to think beyond that or before that really serves no purpose right now for me. We've hung our hat on things. We're going to always try and do the best of our ability in everything that we do. This will be no exception.
So to be honest, nothing really stood out, you know, during the presser for me. It was very, you know, cliche. Of course, this is a big week. You know, D'Antonio talked about how anytime these two teams meet up, it is always a clash of the Titans. It's a game in which, you know, if whoever wins becomes top dog in the college football world in the state of Michigan. And again, both teams are great, are fantastic this year. So is there any room for these two to coexist?
What are you asking? Can we coexist? Well, families do that all the time in Michigan, so I guess we can do it. I think, you know, all I can tell you is this is one game of the week, one game of the year. It's a very meaningful game, but you still have to win your other football games to be successful. So I think both teams can have good football teams, if that's what you're asking. It's been done before, and, you know, both teams have gone to, you know, Big Bowls in the past at the same time and things of that nature. So, yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, it certainly can, and it just adds more fuel to the rivalry. I mean, both can coexist and both can be great programs, but both want to be top dog. No surprise there. And, of course, we all know that, you know, there's two storylines here because looking at both ends here, if Michigan State loses this game, I think, Isaac, this weekend, I really believe that the Spartans who are out there, who are fans of the program, will look to the excuse of injuries as to why they did not win this weekend. And on the contrary, if Michigan ends up pulling out, well, ends up losing this weekend, I really think the dialogue for them will be, well, I mean, it's going to take, you know, we all knew that it's going to take Jim Harbaugh at least a couple of years for them to rebuild the program. Michigan State has been great for quite some time now, but still, we all knew that this was going to happen. But if Michigan wins, the entire dialogue is going to continually flip here. But I do think that there are some excuses that will be said either way for whatever goes down. If Michigan State loses or if Michigan loses, either way this weekend. Don't you believe that?
Yeah, I'm totally with you because both you and I said going into this season, it would be a rebuilding year for Michigan. I mean, we never expected Harbaugh to have the success, the immediate success he is. So that's a legitimate excuse for Michigan. No shame if they lose this one. And for the Spartans, yeah, there have been some injuries. Now, I don't think you can blame it entirely on that. But like I said yesterday, it's part of the problem.
And speaking of injuries, here's Coach D'Antonio on that very topic.
Excuse me, one at a time. Is there a chance Jack Allen won't play?
There's always a chance.
You don't want to update his status, do you?
No, we don't talk about injuries. There's always a chance he will play. So it's always a chance. It's life.
How much enjoyment do you get out of this week once you get through the press conference?
Once I get through the press conference?
I mean, yeah. There's more energy around the building, I'm sure.
Yeah, there is. There is. You know, for me, personally, and for probably a lot of people, a lot of players, there are certain games that you measure, I've said this before, that you measure yourself against because you measure yourself against the past. And you sort of keep track. And you sort of keep track of, you know, what's your record against these particular teams as you move through it, whether it's when you play someplace or whether it's where you coached that particular year. And it doesn't have to be the Michigan State game. It could be a different game at a different university. You just tend to keep track of them. Not to say that the other games aren't important, but this you just sort of put a little bit more emphasis on this. So, yeah, it's exciting. There's different things going on, you know, that kind of stuff.
Another injury question, Mark. Just to clarify at the end of the game, then, Hartberger and Cronin were replaced. Was that not injury related?
That'd be talking about injuries.
Well, kind of.
Would be fair to those guys.
Okay, was it performance related?
Throw me a curveball? We're gonna allow our players to compete this week, and those that are able to play will play. How's that?
I love it. I love it. Coach D, you know, keep your cards close to your vest, brother. Okay? You don't want to let anything out, you know, that will give Michigan, you know, that will aid them, I guess you can say, in their preparation for what's about to go down at the Big House this Saturday. I totally love it. That, of course, were the voices, along with head coach Mark D'Antonio, of Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press and Fred Heumann of WLNS TV6, trying to poke the bear and see if they could get any injury update concerning the Michigan State squad. So what do you think? Who's going to win this weekend? Spartans or Wolverines? Our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517
855-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got my man Mike from Saginaw. Mike, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, L. Martin. We finally got here to the big game everybody wants to see and watch.
Yes.
Finally.
It's
we
here.
Finally got here.
That's right.
I was going to, yes. And we finally got here to the big game.
That's right. That's right, Mike.
No more in-state rivalry games. No more out-state rivalry. No more out-state. This is the game that everybody in Michigan wants to see. And the Big Ten Network wants to talk about, too.
That's right. That's right, man. So what's your thoughts on it, Mike? Who do you got this weekend?
You know what I'm thinking is that Michigan State got a more diversified offense than Michigan do. And it's going to come down to the offenses. I believe in Michigan State just got a lot more offense than Michigan does. And that's what it's all going to come down to.
Okay, so you got Michigan State. Give us a score.
Oh, yeah,
so you got
I
Michigan
do.
State. What's the score?
I got it. I think it's going to be like a high-scoring game. It's going to surprise people. Last time I picked 35-23, but I'm going to pick like 31-17.
Okay, 31-17, Michigan State.
Yep, that's what I'm going to pick.
Okay, all right. Well, we're asking you all to call in and give your score predictions on the game, and who knows? If you nail the score or whoever gets closest to the score, we may have something in store for you. So, all right, appreciate the call, Mike. And also, when looking at this rivalry, I mean, looking at the offense, because that's one thing that I've been harping on a lot, because when it comes to Michigan's offense, I'm not completely sold. I got to be honest with you, Mike. I don't think Jake Rudock may be the guy. I don't know.
The reason why I think what happened, too, here's one situation that really helped out Iowa and Michigan.
Yeah.
They both got rid of a quarterback. Iowa didn't really want on their team, and Michigan got a quarterback that could just run their offense for them. They waiting for Shane Morris to be up the Big Ten Conference. So that's what I'm thinking, Shane Morris or the next quarterback. But I don't think Rudolph would be good till they finally get to develop and find out what Harbaugh's system is. And then they're going to probably get the backup some experience on how to handle situations and what the coach expects of them. It's like I said, you can't just go on the field and play right away.
Why?
You have the quarterback. You have to learn your personnel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to learn what the coaches, what the plays the coaches is, and what the players and their talents and capabilities, what they are.
That's very, very true. And I think that's going to be the difference maker. I think that Michigan's defense has certainly carried this team throughout the season thus far. But, hey, who knows? I mean, hey, when this rivalry happens, every single year, you can throw out for the most part, the X's and O's out the window because, when it comes to that emotion, that raw emotion of what both of these teams play with when they match up, I mean, you just never know what to expect. But we're going to take down your prediction, Mike. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thank you. And I'll be watching. What I want to hear before you go on to another caller,
okay.
It's a lot of procedure calls in college's games. Why is that so much? Why is the linemen are always not properly lined up or the running backs? When I noticed that before the play has been called, that the players come on and off the field and the quarterback huddle up and tell them where to line up on the play. I just take it off the air. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Mike. And I'm trying to fit. Isaac, did you get the gist of that? Is he talking about just positions on the field?
Yeah,
I'm confused.
Illegal procedures. I think he's saying it's been called a lot more recently.
Okay, I got confused.
Yeah, I would attribute that. I mean, I could be completely incorrect. I don't know the ins and outs of that type of lineman
position. Well, it's still early in the season. I mean,
yeah.
So you said you have a lot of teams still trying to iron out the wrinkles. You know what I mean?
Iron out the wrinkles. Another thing, you're going with more and more unconventional formations like the Wildcat.
Right.
And that can cause some coaches and some players to get tripped up. So that's why I'd attribute it to Mike.
That was an intricate question from Mike. He lost me there. I got lost midway through there. But Mike, appreciate the call, dude. Let's hit our first break, all right? When we come back, we will be chatting with two greats when it came to the gridiron, okay? One Spartan, one Wolverine, Todd Duckett, and Cato June. You do not want to miss that. And so much more. Do not touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, very cool story before we get to our guest for today's show. Of course, I went to Spartan Stadium this morning to attend the Mark D'Antonio press conference. Of course, Coach D has his weekly presser at Spartan Stadium in the media room every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. So, of course, it was packed. It was jam-packed today. I mean, media from Detroit, Flint, Grand Rapids, Pluto, Mars. I mean, it was crazy. Crazy today because of how big this game is. College Game Day will also be in town in Ann Arbor to preview the matchup between the Spartans and Wolverines. So it was jam-packed, folks. So Mark D'Antonio, he goes up, and you just heard some of his comments and thoughts addressing this weekend's matchup. After his presser ended, I decided to dip out. You know, it was getting very, very close to airtime here for Current Sports, so I decided to dip out and come to the studio, cut some stuff up for the show, and just do some prep work. On my way from Spartan Stadium to the Communication Arts and Sciences building, I got caught at a light on Shaw Lane. Red light at Shaw Lane, and I almost ran through it, to be honest. It was, you know, when it's like yellow and you're like, ah, should I punch it? You know, because I, you know, it was really starting to get close to airtime. Should I punch it? Thank goodness I did not punch it, because as I sat at the light, I looked to my right, and there was an apparent accident that took place with two cars, and I saw a young student who had her backpack who had just got off her bike. I don't know what exactly happened, but something went down. There was also a fire truck outside, an ambulance was there, a police car as well. And then who do I see? I see the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, passing through, and he decides to check on everyone involved to make sure everyone is okay. How cool is that? That's the thing that you guys may not get to see, you know, with you not being here on campus. I mean, it was just random luck for me just to look to my right and to see Tom Izzo making sure everyone was okay. And then, you know, I kind of stalked him. I felt like I was like TMZ or something. I was like the paparazzi on campus, right? Because after I drove past the scene, I saw Tom. He linked up with a buddy of his, and they're just casually walking from the scene. I mean, he had a few hugs and said hello to the firemen and the policemen that were there, and he just walks down the street, and I'm like stalking him, taking pictures like I'm from TMZ or something, right? but very, very cool stuff nonetheless, folks. Tom Izzo, he's one of a kind, certainly one of a kind. I even took a picture of him, you know, talking to the policeman and the young lady who was on her bike on my Twitter page. Again, follow me at Al Martin WKR to check out that. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. As the annual Michigan State versus Michigan battle nears, an electrifying skirmish has been waging online, ahead of the big showdown. Now, in a nod to college football's premier in-state rivalry, ex-Spartan Todd Duckett and ex-Wolverine Cato June have been rallying fans on both sides of the divide nationwide to raise money for two noble causes through the inaugural House Divided Challenge. The challenge, two former college football standouts are competing over whose respective fans can contribute the most to each of their respective causes. Now, the loser, these are the stakes at hand, the loser must wear his rival's colors and post the picture to social media. Now, June and Duckett, who played against each other in college and in the NFL, are trash-talking and stoking the competitiveness for their fans to help drive fundraising while keeping an eye on the true reason for the challenge, that being a focus on giving back. It's my pleasure to welcome to our airwaves Todd Duckett to Current Sports. Todd, how you doing?
Yo, on the banks of the Red Cedar. What's
my
up,
man.
Al Martin? What's happening?
What's good, homie? How you been?
Man, you know, this I'm fantastic, but every now and then, out of these 52 weeks a year, there's just one week where I wake up and it's just a little bit different.
And this week is certainly that week, Todd, because, of course, it's the big rivalry, Spartans and Wolverines. And I got to ask you, because I think it's very, very cool how you and Cato June have been, you know, engaging on this banter. I'm certain that a lot of trash has been talked between the both of you guys. Exactly how did this fundraising campaign begin?
Renee Cooper put it out there. She made it happen. She's a miracle worker. And she helps both of us do a lot of things. It helps get our messages out to the community. And she knows that both Cato and I's heart and passion is involved in giving and serving and being able to figure out how we can best utilize who we are to help make that huge impact. And naturally, him going to Michigan, me going to Michigan State, us having that bond in football and the camaraderie that we have to compete and give and serve. I mean, she came up with a great idea. Here's the idea, and laid it out to us. And then me and Cato and I, we just took it and ran with it and do our best, again, to raise money for both our organizations, but also fuel the game and inspire fans to get motivated and just keep a positive aspect to a competitive, intense rivalry.
Now, Todd, I want to talk about the relationship between yourself and Cato. Of course, he's a Wolverine. You're a Spartan. How did that relationship blossom over time? And can you give us a story or two about the playing days and the competition when you guys played on the gridiron between each other?
Blossoming. I mean, we're still trying to figure it out.
There you go. It's kind of tempered, I should say, right?
We still trying to figure out if we really like each other or not. You know,
it's that intense,
no,
right?
But it's real, you know, and I think, like, we didn't have much communication with each other except in a competitive way, either in college or in the pros. So now this is a good chance that us to really continue to get to know each other. We support each other's charities. We support other friends that we have who have nonprofits. We support each other together. But, I mean, you know, you still got to know that we have like minds, and all of a sudden you look at that schedule. And, I mean, as much as you want to keep it friendly and fine, you know, that heat starts to rub off the closer it gets to Saturday. You know, we got a couple of days. But at least we're doing this interview early in the week, so it's a little better.
Right. That's certainly true. Now, on the trash-talking side of things, now, I want to role-play for a second, Todd. Okay, if I'm Cato, what have you been saying to Cato as far as talking trash throughout the week, not even just concerning the game itself, but also the fundraising campaign? What have you been taking jabs at to really get under the skin of Cato June?
You know, really is, I haven't really talked to him. It's not about him. It ain't got nothing to do with him. Ain't
nice.
Got nothing to do with the university. It ain't got nothing to do with anything on that side of a 94. So, I mean, reaching out to our Spartan Nation, and we got to come together. We got to come as one, especially with this weekend, having to go over there and enter a hostile environment. We got to be a tight-knit unit and be able to get into the Michigan Stadium and hold our own. So the same thing with this charity. If we get together, this is about us. This is about us Spartans being able to rally behind a cause. One is to be able to raise funds so we can continue to do amazing things in the community. Mm-hmm. But two, I mean, I don't want to wear that stuff.
Right.
I don't want to take a picture in that. So hopefully MSU Spartan Nation don't want to see me in them colors either. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, and folks, again, if whoever loses this fundraising challenge, the loser must go on to their social media account and wear the colors of the rival school. So we don't want to see an amazing blue, Todd.
Nah, so we don't need y'all to go to CatoVersTodd.com.
Yep.
And hit that donate Todd hashtag Team Todd.
I love that. That easy, right? Now, I want you to make a case for why people should donate to your endeavor, because, Todd, we've had you on, and you've certainly talked about New World Flood and the amazing things that your organization does in the community for the people around here and beyond, for that matter. Kind of pub what New World Flood is all about.
Sure. New World Flood. Flooding the world through giving and service. A single raindrop is the beginning of a flood, and I'm the rainmaker. We go out and we create positive actions, whether it's a person believing in themselves, whether it's one positive thought, action towards a cause, to make a difference from the inside out. And many things we do at our organization, we give away over 2,000 backpacks to kids in Lansing area, K through 12. Right now, we're in the midst of our community feast, a flood to feed a million families. We're giving away 2,048 Thanksgiving dinners between here and Kalamazoo. We also grow my beard out to help raise money for a cancer organization. I cut it with 30 to 40 third and fourth graders. I mean, it's all about giving back to the community and our organization. But the purpose, it's one person. It's not all of us. It's not one person relying on one person to do it. But a single raindrop, a single act of kindness, a single positive intention to help better the world or your community or yourself creates the flood of change. New world flood.
I love it. I love it. That
go
was
green. Go there, green. There come you, on now.
I love it, Ty. That was eloquently said, my man. And I think on the contrary, Cato is raising money for the Jaguar Football Club. You know anything about that?
Who?
The Jaguar Football Club.
Who'd you say was who? Someone named what?
Cato.
I don't even know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I love it, Ty. I tell you, this rivalry is real, folks. If you don't hear it through your speakers right now, you don't have a pulse, okay? Again, we are chatting with Ty Duckett, again, former Michigan State running back, great. Now, let's dive into the game really briefly here, Ty, before I get you out of here. Michigan is a 6.5-point favorite, according to Vegas odds, to win. Pull out the dub at the Big House this weekend. Why do you think Michigan is the favorite when looking at the masses who are trying to predict who's going to win this game?
I think a lot of us, or a lot of other people, they're caught up in the flash and the hype and the hope of great things. And, I mean, Michigan, they're playing well. They're playing great football. They're playing definitely better than they have in the past few years, which people are excited. I think something I believe that we can't overlook, too, is we all know what it's like to have that number on our back. And Michigan State, this is a new space for them to go in the games 2, 4, 7, whatever that number is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sneaking up on people. So people are giving us their best chance, their best shot. And they're giving us the number two. It's not Michigan State Big Ten champs. It's the number two team in the country. It's the number four team in the country in the building. So I believe other schools, they're giving us everything they got. This is a huge game. And we as Spartans, we have to understand that. We have to be able to handle these teams' huge, huge storms that they're giving us. And because we haven't been able to quite handle those things at a high level, we're struggling. We don't look good. We're barely winning. Once we can embrace the fact that we're going to have a huge game, we're going into an environment, and the team doesn't care that you're two team in the country. Once we go into those arenas and we embrace that, then I think we will play higher and at a higher level, and we will match that number. So going into this particular game, I mean, other than the Oregon game, this is the biggest game Michigan State guys had to get up for from a natural emotion rather than trying to work up for Western or work up for Air Force or get motivated to play Rutgers. This is actually a chance for us to do something. Yes, we're banged up. We're struggling. But as a team, we haven't had a purpose to play hard. And now there is a huge reason. Throw all the things out the window. Now you're telling us that this team that has beat up on Michigan the past couple years, that's won the Rose Bowl, that's won the Cotton Bowl, that has developed into a mature team with senior veteran leadership and all the work that they came. You're telling me that these young men aren't the team that we all thought, that aren't Coach D'Antonio's team, and they're going to go into Ann Arbor and lay down. You're going to be in a rude awakening of what the culture Michigan State has developed over the past 8-9 years, and it's going to come out in one game, which is going to be tomorrow or Saturday. And then from there, we can go ahead and get the season on the road and start looking at the following week. But right now, it's going to be a different Michigan State team that we haven't seen all year, partially because we're injured, so other guys are going to have to step up and play out of their mind. Mm-hmm. And the guys that are healthy, man, this is what we've been waiting for. We ready.
Yeah, and so going back to what you said earlier in that statement, Todd, do you think so you're saying that the reason why Michigan State has, you know, barely squeaked by, you know, teams like, you know, Rutgers and Purdue and even let Air Force back in the game, the reason why you say that is because Michigan State has, in a way, got complacent and hasn't had a reason to really get amped up for a matchup?
I do believe so. I mean, I believe that. I mean, now that everything going into the Big Ten season last week or 2 weeks ago, now that things are starting to get real and serious, I mean, we're walking in number two team in the country into Western Michigan. I mean, that's a great chance for them to knock off the number two team in the country. That's huge.
Yeah.
That would have been big for them. The following week, we get a chance to play Oregon. We win. Okay, straight. Now you go and you play Arizona, a chance to knock. I mean, every time there's a chance for other teams to really get amped up. And we have at least started somewhat fast, but we haven't been able to continue that momentum for all four quarters. it's get up, get out, and then it's the second, third quarter, and now we can't even complete the pass. I don't know if that's a lack of focus. I don't know if that's us playing down to our competition. Mm-hmm. But this now changes everything because there can't – we have 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so of us struggling and building that character, building – I mean, tough games. That's a regular. Now – I mean, I can't think of Michigan if they even had a tough game yet this season. So that's going to be a chance to see where they're at. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, and you know, Wolverine fans will certainly point to that Utah matchup at the very beginning of the season. And, you know, even, of course, bring up how Utah really handled Oregon during that matchup as well. But it's going to be very interesting. A lot of different storylines. So, Ty, before we get you out of here, of course, we've been asking our callers to do the same. I want you to give us a score prediction. Of course, I know you're going to choose Michigan State, but I want you to give us a score prediction on the game as well as your favorite memory during your playing days in competing in the Michigan State versus Michigan rivalry.
Score, I'm going to say the score is going to be 35-17, go green. And other thing, too, with this game on both sides of the ball, having played in this game a couple times, records don't matter. So none of that matters. Whatever you did last week doesn't matter. What you did last year doesn't matter. So this is going to be on what happens on Saturday. But, I mean, I've had great memories. The first year playing them in East Lansing and seeing Plexico go to work, that was amazing.
Right.
And then 2 years after that, being in East Lansing and being able to have the game that we did, that was amazing. Catching the last second ball and just the way that whole game played out, it was a great memory. Fantastic.
Who can forget that one, right? Well, Todd, again, we wish you all the luck on this fundraising competition, and we'll be sure to update our listeners on how that turns out. But, hey, big game this weekend, my man. Are you going to be in the house at the big house?
Nah, I'm not going there, man. I start to itch when I get close that way. So.
Well, stay away. Right. Stay away. There you go, right? The one, the only, Todd Duckett. Todd, thanks so much for joining me today,
Martin,
my man.
Appreciate you, boss. Thank you, man.
You know it, dude.
Peace.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, again, we continue to take your outstanding telephone calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. I'm your host, Al Martin, and you are tuned into Current Sports. We have about 5 minutes left, and we're continuing to take your calls here on the show. We want to get your thoughts and predictions on the upcoming rivalry matchup between the Spartans and the Wolverines. We've got one of our favorite callers right now on line two. My man, Ray. Ray, how you doing?
Big Al.
How you been, homie?
Are you gonna beat them boys and liars up there in Ann Arbor this week?
Here we go. I knew the shots were going to be
fired. You know them bullies and them liars. You know, I don't care if they win every game all year. They're still bullies and liars.
Oh, here we go, Ray.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I've been watching them all year, and they're protecting that quarterback real good. The only game they lost was to Utah, and Utah did a great job of stopping the run. You've got to stop the run and force this character to come out of the pocket. The only time they're getting that first or second down, they're rolling him out and they're having to throw that little 10-15-yard pass down the field to that tight end. You got to stop the run first.
Mm-hmm.
To have any chance at all, you've got to force that quarterback to make some plays. And I think the only way you're going to win this game, you've got to take their over-aggressiveness. Nobody's tried a double reverse with them. Nobody's tried a draw play hardly with them. Nobody's tried screen passes. And nobody took the tailback, and they've lost the linebacker and defensive tackle for the year. You've got to isolate their weaknesses. And their other weakness is quarterback. They haven't played a quarterback all year. Your quarterback's great, but you're going to have to protect him. Are you getting any of your injuries back?
Well, we actually played a bite from Coach D'Antonio, to start our show, and Coach D is not telling the media or anyone outside of his program anything concerning the overall health of his team. He wants to keep Michigan guessing, and of course, we're going to have to keep on guessing. We have no injury update as of right now.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I know. I agree.
How they've been over-aggressive and nobody's really exploited
their
weaknesses.
Well, like I said, Ray, the big thing about this Michigan team is their defense. Their defense is arguably the best in the nation right now. They've had back-to-back-to-back shutouts where they're not allowing any points on the board. But I'm not big on their offense, though. I think Jake Rudock is iffy. Davion Smith, he's been a horse when it comes to their running game. Jake Butt, their tight end, has been outstanding. But at the same time, I think that there are a lot of holes in that offense. If there is a weak link in this Michigan team right now, it's their offense. I don't think they're that consistent, to say the least. So I agree with you. I think you pointed out, you made some great points there, Ray.
You got to stop the run and force this guy in the third, fourth quarter. They haven't been in a game since the Utah game.
Yeah.
They haven't been in a game since then. You got to force him to make some throws down the field.
Exactly. You got to make Jake Rudock throw the football because, in all honesty, he's not an overly accurate quarterback. So I agree. You got to make, you know, Jake Rudock throw. You got to, and it starts with shutting down that run game, because if they get that going, if Jim Harbaugh gets that round and pound mound ground game working, it's going to be a long night for that Michigan State defense.
You're using your tailbacks out of the backfield against one of their linebackers.
Yeah. I tell you should be on the sidelines,
Ray. You're going to need some big plays. I'm telling you, the only way I see you winning this game is a defensive struggle.
Yeah.
But you've got to stop those big plays you've been giving up against Purdue and Rutgers. Michigan's a lot better than Purdue and Rutgers.
The secondary. Michigan State secondary has to play better. They have to tackle in space. There have been many blown assignments. I definitely agree.
They got to quit giving up those big runs. You give up a big one, a couple big runs against Rutgers.
Yeah, they certainly have. And even looking at Western, I mean, Western was able to run on Michigan State as well. And then even looking at Air Force was able to put up a lot of yardage on the ground. So, Ray, before we get you out of here, I want to get a score prediction. Who you got and what's the score?
I'll take a one-point Spartan victory.
A one-point Spartan victory? Where is it going to be in the 20s, 30s? What? What's the score?
I don't know. It's according to if you play good enough defense. If you play good enough defense, I think you can do it 21-20, something like that.
Okay, 21-20. We got you on record, Ray. Always a great call, my man.
Please beat those bullies. Please for me. Liars. Go Spartans.
All right, there we go. The one, the only Ray from Indiana. I tell you, you never know where that call is. Well, you know where it's going. You know where the call is going because he does not like U of M, but you just better strap in tight and hopefully we don't get fined from the FCC, okay?
Exactly, yeah. I'm hoping every time Ray calls, I mean, it's always a pleasure. And that's for sure.
I love Ray.
It always makes your day and brightens it up, but you know where he's going. You know where he's attacking,
you know
where he's aiming for, and that's straight at the head of the Michigan Wolverines.
I love our callers. I love our regulars. Mike from Saginaw, thanks a lot. Ray from Indiana.
Apache called today, okay. And we just didn't have enough time to squeeze him in, but call tomorrow. We're calling Michigan State all week.
Apache, we'll get to you tomorrow and anyone else who want to call. And again, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. Back here tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place. Be easy, people.